Welcome to another edition of TJSlideways.com Live here just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan, here in the Engine Pro Studios. And, of course, we're glad to announce Engine Pro back for another year here with TJSlideways.com Live. Later on the show, we're going to have Roger Slack from Eldora Speedway to talk about the World of Outlaws program coming up this weekend. Then Brian Smith's going to close the show out with us to talk about his win last Friday at Attica Raceway Park and his unique victory celebration. But our first guest, already on the line from the sprint car hotbed of Connecticut, is where he hails from, and he's one of the best stories, I think, this year in all of sprint car racing. David Gravel joining us on the hotline. David, thanks for taking time out to join us tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, we mentioned you're from Connecticut. When I think of Connecticut, I think of midgets, maybe some super modified racing a little bit, Lime Rock Park. I don't exactly think all-star sprint cars, World of Outlaws sprint cars. How did you get drawn to sprint car racing?
Well, there's not one dirt track in Connecticut to begin with, so it was pretty hard. I raced quarter midgets, and after that we bought a Legend on asphalt, and we bought a Micro on dirt. And I ran both of those, and I fell in love with the Micro, and we just pursued that, and we ended up traveling to Pennsylvania every weekend to run that. So, we got rained out a night or two on a Saturday, and we got to watch some 410 race at Lincoln, and, it was just awesome. And, from there we got a 360 and ran with the URC series, and then the following year we jumped on the All-Star Tour.
And now, this year started out, you started out with your own team in Florida, and then Bill Rose hurts his elbow. How did it come about where he called you to step in to fill in while he was recovering from his injuries?
At the track, we knew the guy that was going to be driving the truck for him pretty well. And, we kind of threw our name in there, and, I guess he had like 16 or 17 people call him to want to drive the car. So, I didn't get paid a percentage or anything like that, just to get in the car. And, he chose me because usually I'm pretty good on stuff. And, he knew I wouldn't tear much stuff up. So, he gave me the phone call and asked me if I wanted to. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm not doing anything else. I don't race till like the also over in Attica. So I had, like a month off. So, why not race?
And you've parlayed that into quite a relationship here. You've done very well in the car. You're sitting up in the, near the top of the World of Outlaw points. And so what's the plan going to be going forward now?
That's just a very hard decision, to make. Right now we're like on a week-to-week basis right now. I do want to run all the races. I have to be in the Bilro 6 or have, the 6 on my car to have provisionals. Like, so if I was into my car, I wouldn't have provisionals, which is, tough to do when you go to Williams Grove and Attica and, places like that. So, we're just trying to figure out what to do, what's the best thing to do is, Bill wants to get back in the car. He was thinking about maybe trying to do a two-car team, but, that'd just be way too hard to do. So, right now we're just trying to see when Bill's going to get back in the car and, try to work out all the fine details. But my goal, for myself is to run all the outlaw races this year and, hopefully do pretty well in the points.
And, could you even imagine, because you set out at the beginning of the year to run the All-Star Tour and in some select races. How has this been, could you even imagine this happening and how well you've done?
Well, you throw your name into Bill and, you kind of talk a little bit, but, you never think he's going to pick me. And, he did, and, I'd never been to any of those tracks out west, so, it was a great learning experience. And, we're only supposed to race for about 5 nights, and, now it's been almost like 15 now. So, it's been great. We've actually had a decent amount of bad luck and some part failures. So with all that said, we've still done well.
And also, you have your family-owned team. Now, if you have to go back to that, is that stuff ready to go?
Yeah, Bill was maybe going to get in the car this weekend, but if he was going back in his car, our car would have been there at Eldora. So, yes, it's ready to go. We were planning on running Knoxville last weekend, but flying got rained out on Friday and moved to Saturday. So, yeah, it's stuff's ready to go, and it's the nicest it's ever been. So, you know, it's good to have a backup plan.
Now, do you base your team out of Connecticut, or do you, during the summer, maybe set up shop somewhere near more where the racing's at?
Well, last year we raced out of the Hobman and Shields house. They're, you know, kind enough to let us race out of there. You know, being with the All-Stars, you know, you race a lot around Ohio and Pennsylvania and, you know, a little bit in Indiana and stuff like that. So last year we did that. The year before that, Rob Hart was my crew chief, and we raced out of his house in Indianapolis or Brownsburg, whatever you want to call it. So this year we're just going to kind of, you know, spend a few weeks here. But, you know, right now with Bill, we're racing out of his house. So with our car, you know, when we're racing near Ohio, we'll stay in Ohio. And when we race in PA, we'll stay with somebody in PA. And when we're out, you know, Iowa, North and South Dakota, Tyler's from Newton, Iowa. So we'll be there.
And one thing I've heard drivers talk about over the years is being, quote unquote, outlaw fast. When you're on the All-Star Tour and you're racing other stuff, you have to race a couple outlaw shows to maybe get up to that speed. How much of a difference is there between an outlaw show and an All-Star show? What does that demand of you as the driver?
You know, I just think like an All-Star race and an outlaw race just has like a totally different feel. I can't really tell you what the difference is, but, you know, when you go with the All-Stars with PA and stuff, it kind of has that same feel to it. But, you know, it's just hard to compete night in and night out, you know. With the All-Stars, if you don't qualify good, you know, your whole night is ruined because you could start on a pole of the heat race and win it, and you're still going to start in the back of the feature. And, you know, the Outlaws, you still have a chance to, you know, get a good spot or get in the dash or vice versa. So, you know. And then everybody, you know, all the greats, you know, race the Outlaws, you know, Steve Kinzer, Sammy Sundell, and, you know, Donnie Schatz, you know, those guys have won a lot of races. And, you know, those are the people everybody wants to beat.
Now, you're going into Eldora this weekend, and that's a place that a lot of people don't take to right away. It takes laps around that place. How do you judge your progress about getting around the Big E right now?
Well, actually, my first year in 410 racing, I had my best finish at Eldora, and it actually like rained that day, and it was super, super heavy, and I finished 7th there my first year, and it took me a real long time to beat that finish. And, you know, the years previous, we had a lot of trouble qualifying well, you know, to really get that raw speed in qualifying. And, you know, last year, we were quick time 3 out of the before Outlaw shows last year, every race but the King's Royal. So I'm excited to get back. You know, we were in the lead that one time when we got together with Madsen at that Outlaw show. So, you know, I'm excited to get back, and, you know, we're really going to see what Bill Suff has on a big track.
And that's something I've heard other drivers talk about over the years is qualifying. What did it take for you to become a good qualifier? What does it, you know, what does it just take experience, or what is it as a driver that you have to do differently than what you're doing, let's say, in a heat race or during the feature?
You know, our equipment always stayed the same, and, you know, I think I just got a little bit better driving, and, you know, you really just got to keep the car straight, and, you know, if you got to run on the cushion, you got to make sure you run around there. You can't cheat it or, you know, try to turn off of it most of the time. You got to, at Eldora, you got to be straight as an arrow. You can't twitch the wheel and, you know, just hit your marks. You know, you just got to keep your speed up and just try not to make any erratic moves.
One other thing someone pointed out to me last year, these double file restarts, that is like your ball game. Last year in the couple shows I saw you in double file restarts, you made up so much ground on those restarts. What, you know, is that something, you know, that, is it a mental thing? Is it something that it took a little while to develop, or is it just something you just had a natural knack to do?
Well, you know, you definitely saw the good races, because there is a lot of bad nights where you do, you know, you do get the short end of the stick on the restarts. it's very hard to, you know, advance spots, and you got to take advantage every time you can. Most of the time, the guys on the outside that, you know, usually, you know, gain a bunch of spots, sometimes when they're on the inside, you get pinched and, you know, you have nowhere to go. You know, it's just, you got to capitalize, you know. You're so used to the single file restarts with the All-Stars and stuff, and it's, you know, so hard to move up, and you just got to capitalize on, you know, what they give you.
And if it works out to where you can do this whole Outlaw Tour, is there something that you haven't done or a place you haven't gone to yet on the tour that you're kind of looking forward to?
I heard Grand Forks is pretty awesome. It's a real high bank little track and usually puts on great racing. I'm definitely excited to go there. And Skagit looks like it's pretty fun, and I haven't been there either. So, you know, those are kind of two short tracks that, you know, seem to be a lot of fun.
And your family is behind you in this operation, you know, because obviously you drive for a family-owned team when you're not driving for Bill. And what is that dynamic like compared to driving to Bill? How is it different driving for Bill than it is driving for your family?
Well, my car is only half-owned by my family. We have another guy that actually purchased all the stuff we had, our truck, trailer. He bought three cars for us and two motors. You know, my dad's just part owner from all the sponsors we have. It's not all his personal money. So, you know, people think, you know, I had the easy road, but, you know, me and my dad have earned a lot of sponsors over the years. And, you know, my dad works really hard for, you know, what he gets. All he does is own a body shop. So I'm really thankful for that. But, with actually Bill, it's a lot less stressful and, you know, definitely more laid back. And, you know, going into it, you don't really have too much of expectations, you know, and, you know, to run good just makes it that much better.
And more of a personal question, I had a couple of people email me today. They want to know what David Gravel likes to do away from the racetrack. What do you do to unwind when you're not racing?
You know, growing up, I had quads and, you know, put my money into quads and had fun with that. But when I got my license, with my dad being in the body shop business, you know, I'm in love with cars and sports, so, you know, I actually have a Mustang and go to the drag strip whenever I'm home and have fun with that. And, you know, I just love playing sports, basketball, football, a little bit of baseball. I just really love sports and, you know, collect, you know, football cards and baseball cards, stuff like that. I'm just really a sports fanatic and I love cars.
Well, David, we wish you best of luck this weekend at Eldora, and we look forward to seeing your progress on the Outlaw Tour. It's been a fun story to follow so far.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and hope I can keep it up.
All right. That's David Gravel joining us on the hotline. And, of course, folks, don't forget that you can listen to Race Talk live here on racesontheweb.com or on WFNT 1470 AM every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Ed and Larry will break down the best in Michigan short track racing and some of the bigger national stories as well. So don't forget to listen to Race Talk 7 to 9 here on racesontheweb.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Roger Slack about the upcoming Outlaw Weekend at Eldora Speedway. We'll probably talk to him about some big NASCAR race with push trucks they're going to have and stuff. And kind of an interesting, you know, they're having the Torque Series there, and it's going to be an oval race. I'm interested to hear how that's going to be, what changes we can expect at Eldora this year. Of course, we've seen big, massive changes every season there, and looking forward to seeing what they have in store for us this season. So on the other side of the break, Roger Slack, and then we're going to have Brian Smith. You're listening to TJSlideways.com live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSlideways.com Live here on racesontheweb.com. And my next guest, one of our favorites to have on the show, because when we both started doing this, I was a fan and he was already flagging, but we were the young guys, and now we're like the middle-aged guys together. So Roger Slack, the promoter and GM of Eldora Speedway, joining us. And Roger, I know you have so much on your plate, and we're really glad that you took a moment to talk to us tonight.
Well, I'm excited to be on once again, and think about we've been doing this since, 1999, TJ. We've been doing these shows in some sort of fashion, whether it was chats or online shows. So,
yeah,
that's something else.
It is kind of crazy when you think about it. And you were down south then, and now you're at Eldora, and you guys landed this NASCAR truck race. And we're a sprint car show, but we can't avoid this topic because it's just huge. And we were talking off the air. I can't even imagine what the logistics and planning of what you guys are going through right now to get ready for this race.
Well, it's a lot of work, that's for sure, on behalf of our entire staff. And everybody's risen to the challenge. And, that's a great thing about Eldora is that we've got a lot of history of putting on major events, and this NASCAR race, it's still only going to be the third biggest race of the year. The World 100 will still be the biggest. The King's Royal will still be the second biggest. And this truck race, it'll be the third biggest. But There's just different challenges, and we'll meet them. And it's like the Prelude because it's a midweek show, so that's a little different. Coming with a NASCAR sanction and place in the hierarchy of professional sports, there's community involvement as far as whether it's the sheriffs and Homeland Security and the fire departments and emergency management, you know, all those sorts of things that, you know, come along with a major event like that. So there's just a lot of different stuff, and plus trying to get them to understand how dirt works. So it's definitely been interesting, but all in all, our racers, you know, it's the guys that were here on Saturday night and modified and stocks and the tough trucks. I mean, they benefited already just because our new walls on the infield are safer and there's, you know, impact attenuators on our pit walls now, stuff that we didn't have before. You know, we've got state-of-the-art stuff.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to touch on. I was wondering about this, the infield and the layout. How is it going to change the pit layout at all? Because for like the weekly deals and stuff, because of accommodating the NASCAR pit stops and stuff, or is it basically going to be the same layout we've seen in the past?
No, it'll be the very same. We're adding probably going to add just a couple of little concrete strips here and there. It'll actually maybe. The one that we're going to add, maybe make the pit road flow a little bit better. And maybe some of the other areas that haven't necessarily always, you know, had traffic flow the way that they should have. That'll flow a little bit better. The crossover is already, it's not necessarily wider for the haulers, but it gives the sensation that it's wider, so the hauler drivers, when they come through, you know, they'll feel a little bit more comfortable pulling down and pulling back up. But nothing's really going to change that way. The drivers pulling up on the racetrack, they've got a whole lot more room, and they'll still be able to turn off and get off in turn three at those two different points. And it's actually wider, and they don't have the places with the blunt end walls anymore. I mean, everything is now the new all the latest University of Nebraska technology has been built into it with the angles and specs and everything that you know they've learned. Or you know, you don't want to have any more severe angles than what we've got here. So.
And so that'll be good to hear. So everyone wandering on the infield, same traffic pattern, so keep your eyes open and watch for sprint cars this weekend. And that brings us to the fact that you do have the World of Outlaws coming in this weekend. This show got pushed back to May a few years ago, and it seems to have worked out better for you guys. You're not seem to be battling as many weather elements as you used to. It's nice to have that first strike in April, but you've had a better percentage, as it looks like, getting this thing in May.
Yeah, and that's I got the Weather Channel on right now, and it looks like the weather forecast is improving. One time we're, you know, looking at getting at least one night in, and now things look like we're going to have a full weekend, and so that's exciting. And because there was so much anticipation last year, last September for the Four Crown, after just a tremendous Kings Royal last year, so. You know, now we got a 2-day show coming in, and, you know, people are definitely excited. And, you know, I've come to learn that, you know, Eldora seems to have about 3 opening days, and, that's the, you know, the true opening day, and then the opening day when we actually race, and then the World of Outlaw race. So, it's definitely, amping up around here. Everybody's excited, you know, whether it's folks at the Wagon Wheel or the St. Henry Nightclub or, you know, around here in North Star, and everybody's getting excited. And it sounds like we're going to have a great car count. And Tony's flying up from Talladega both nights, hopefully weather permitting, you know, in between here and Talladega. So definitely going to be a great weekend.
And one thing you did last year that I was just extremely impressed with is, I don't know, I can't even put my finger on what all the things were, if it was just all the signs, the feel, but the King's Royal had just an incredible feel last year. The whole thing, it was just such a great race, a great event. Not that it wasn't before, but it just had something different about it. What did you guys do to create some different energy at that event last year?
You know, I really don't know why there was such a buzz, because the King's Royal has been growing for the last number of years. And I think, you know, the excitement of the Brad Doty Classic, you know, that gets everybody excited. You know, people are coming in earlier now, and then, you know, they have their Thursday night to party and get all excited. Friday night, you know, it was a great race, but that King's Royal format, is so different and so unique. And because people know there's going to be games played in qualifying, but you have got to run hard because you want to make sure that you're in position for those two fast time provisionals. But they know that heat race format is so unique, with that deep inversion and then those three positions that transfer in those six heat races, the positions can change. And, you know, when a guy is battling for first and second and third in those heat races, and it can literally mean the difference between starting on the outside pole or starting 11th, it just creates an air of excitement from the beginning of the heat races all the way through. And then to know that there's no actual provisionals, that you have to race and race and race hard the entire night. And then, you know, the Steve Kinzer and Craig Kinzer started 23rd and 24th, and the only reason was because of the last lap pass by the two of them in 3 and 4 coming to the checkered in the B feature. I mean, that's how hard everybody drives that night for that 50,000 to win. And it's the different format, it's the excitement of it all, and it's just that tradition, and you know, we're getting ready for the 30th annual, so it's going to be a special one coming up here in July.
And this is the World of Outlaws only tune-up for that race. You do have a Speed Week show later in the year, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, but I'm going to put you on the spot because we have a poll right now asking our readers if they feel someone that wins one of the two features or one of the two winners this weekend are going to be the winner of the King's Royal. What do you think? Do you think one of the guys that wins this weekend will also win the Royal?
I don't think so necessarily. You're looking at, it's a long time between now and then for the Outlaws. Momentum is so different for them. Who would ever have thought, if you look at the King's Royal last year, who would ever have thought that we would be looking at, Darren Pittman, Paul McMahon, putting on the show that they did, early on, it's just there were so many different names early on. So I think the season still needs to shake out a little bit. I think winning these early shows, it's definitely not going to hurt. But I think that one thing about bringing Ohio Sprint Speed Week back on June 22nd, that is going to give the Ohio guys, the local guys, that's going to give them another race to get some lap time here at Eldora. And that's sort of, we wanted to bring Ohio Sprint Week back and get the All-Stars another show back here because it's definitely something that the tradition we wanted to get back here, especially what could be in the 60th year. But it's also, for us, sort of based on what our late model program is we always have a pretty big special that is not related to to all the big tours ahead of our Dirt Late Model Dream and ahead of the World 100. And so, you know, for the All-Stars and the and our local Ohio guys and everybody to get a shot just a couple weeks before the Kings Royal and have Eldora to themselves and, you know, get to see what it's like in its summer shape. That may give those guys a bit of an advantage.
And also, the travel for Ohio Speed Week that weekend makes complete sense. You go to Attica, and Attica to Eldora is not a short drive, but it's not a terrible drive either. And then the next night's right up the road at Waynesfield. So it's really fan-friendly for travel, too, and team-friendly, too, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, I was glad that we were able to put that all together because the All-Stars definitely belong at Eldora, and people have been asking for it, and you know, we've got the camping facilities, so you know, people can go to Attica. And, Attica's been running some great races. Friday night, I think what they were done at 9:35 or whatever, so you know, they can get done quick. People can get on the road. They can come here, camp, and stay here. They can stay here again the night on Saturday. Waynesfield's 45 minutes or an hour away from here, so that'll be a nice little weekend for everybody to kick off Sprint Week.
And I also read, this isn't sprint car related either, but you guys are having the off-road trucks there, the Torque Series, and that's going to be an oval race. How is that going to work?
Yeah, next week the Torque off-road trucks are going to be here, and they're going to build the jumps, everything on the straightaways, and maybe some stuff in the corners, it's going to be something else to see them trucks up on the banks and then come rocketing down the straightaways and hit some of these giant jumps and go flying through the air. I'm really looking forward to that. And I think NASCAR is in Darlington next week, and Jarrett Johnson's racing, Jimmy Johnson's little brother, and Jimmy's planning on flying up on, I think, Friday night to be able to see his brother race here. And it's something different, something we wanted to try. And Torque is actually owned by USAC, so that's a big deal. That's got a lot of sponsorship. It's got Red Bull and Traxxas, BF Goodrich. I mean, all kinds of different sponsors involved. So we're really hoping to, introduce a new crowd and some new people to Eldora and hopefully put on a really cool race. And it's live on Speed that night. So it's, always good to be able to showcase a facility to some new folks.
And another thing that's different on the schedule this year, the October show, if you're a sprint car fan, you need to go to Eldora in October because you have the All-Stars. You have the Boss non-wing sprint cars and the NRA 360 sprint cars all on the same program. And, I mean, that's just like, it blows my mind. That was the first race that when I was playing on races I was going to cover this year, that's actually the first one I put on my schedule. Because as soon as I saw that come out, I'm like, holy cow, you get everybody in one spot for one night. And that's going to be a little bit different for fans this year.
Yeah, and that's, the Bob non-wing series, they are really growing. They've got a lot of good things going on there, producing great car camps, fantastic races, and you're running two wing classes, and a lot of guys were trying to run both, and we were trying to give that event a bit of a kick in the pants. It is in October, and you got a lot of obstacles with hunting season and football, college football, and all the different obstacles that you have with running a fall Saturday night race. And I don't know, maybe Charlotte might be on TV that night too. And we got thinking about what could spruce it up, and so that gives it some appeal to the non-wing fans too, and get some more local flavor and involvement as well. And plus, it also gives a talented guy like Sheldon Hodenshield and some of those other guys some incentive to take the wing off and put it on. So you're not always going to see that if you run a, say, a USAC in a World of Outlaw doubleheader. But you may see that when it's, you know, a bit of a smaller show and guys, you know, feel that there's an opportunity there to shine or make, you know, make something happen. So, you know, that's a great night. University of Northwestern Ohio, they bring a ton of people out. And, you know, really hoping that we can build this Springtacular into something big.
And, of course, I read also you guys replaced the front stretch lights this year. Yeah, Muscle Lighting all down the front straightaway. You mentioned the infield improvements. Are there any other improvements or changes that fans should take note of this year when they come to Eldora?
Some little things here and there. I mean, you know, like if you got little kids and you're used to changing diapers, we put change tables in the bathroom this year. You know, maybe notice them this week, and you know, it's just little things like that here and there. AT&T's putting a cell tower up across the road from the Speedway on our property, and that should be up and operational here before our major events, and that's going to be great, especially if you're an AT&T customer. All the scoring data is now available through our app, and, through our website, and through Race Monitor's app. We've done everything we can to provide everybody with as much up-to-date information as possible. And then, you know, just, you know, trivial little things. Like we've started getting rid of all the cables that used to fly from the tower across to the flag stand. They now go down into a conduit and underneath the grandstand over to the flag stand. So, you know, we're trying to get rid of, you know, all those obstacles so that, you know, just clean the place up and it looks a little bit better. And we're adding some more speakers here and there and getting the sound system improved. Just little things here and there that we'll keep working on and try and make the place even bigger and better.
It's kind of amazing sometimes when you get a facility like Eldora, a big racetrack, and you talk about the little things you're doing now. It's the same problems and the same little fixes that every other little racetrack in the country has too. So you're not immune to those as well. And one question.
No, it's just that this place is so big that, you know, what might cost $500 to fix somewhere else. I mean, it is really easy to spend $50,000 here in a day and not even see it. I mean that's how big so many improvements can be. You know, the infrastructure and stuff. So the new power lines that went in that, you know, replaced old stuff. You know, just to make sure that we don't have a power outage just because of old lines. You know, that's stuff that people will never see. That's a huge investment. And like on the dirt late model side, on our big events, people don't see, you know, the number of race cars that we tech for tire softener, but between the Dirt Late Model Dream and the World 100, that total of almost $10,000 a year. And, that's the kind of stuff when you start dealing with those big events that, you don't necessarily think about when you're putting those things together. But those are the big whopper expenses that you gotta sign off on.
You've now lived in Ohio for a year now, and you've gotten through it all and survived your first year there. How is life in it's not really northern Ohio, but it's in that part of Ohio. How is it treating you? It's similar to Ontario and some of the places I've been, but what is it like living in the Eldora bubble there down that part of Ohio?
Oh, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's just like being at home. And the cool thing is, I mean, I'm 6 hours from my mom and dad now, and my nephews and, you know, my grandparents and, you know, I just lost my grain of slack here a couple weeks ago, but, you know, I've still got my three remaining grandparents. And so, you know, I'm now, you know, 6 hours closer to my family, but, you know, I've got, you know, great friends. This is a great area. And, you know, it just feels, you know, it just feels right. I mean, great people. You know, people don't realize, it depends how you come to Eldora, how you view it geographically. I mean, you know, we're not that far from 75, and we're not that far from some major highways and some towns. It just depends. It depends how far or how you come in. If you come in the wrong way, you might think that we're out in the middle of nowhere. But you know, it's a great place to live. The people are great, and you know, it's a ton of fun. And you know, the community is you know, really. I mean, they love the big E and in our logo and in our colors, you know, as much as they, you know, rally around, you know, the Ohio State University and St. Henry football and, you know, Ansonia and, you know, all of our little towns and villages around here. So that the community spirit is really something else. And, that's pretty exciting to see and just to experience and be a part of.
One last question. If you had to bring one thing from home, like from Canada or something that you just can't get in Ohio that you go, man, I wish I could get blank, what would it be?
Well, we already got Tim Hortons here, but they stopped serving egg salad. But their egg salad in the U.S. wasn't as good for some reason. It was watery.
You know, everyone tells me Tim Hortons in the U.S. tastes different. I can't tell the difference personally, but that's just me.
Probably Swiss Chalet. You know, I miss Swiss Chalet chicken. Whenever I go home, there's two things I do: go to Swiss Chalet and Tim Hortons. So probably be Swiss Chalet.
Interesting. All right, Roger Slack, thanks for joining us this weekend. Of course, the big World of Outlaw races Friday and Saturday night at Eldora Speedway. Go to eldoraspeedway.com, download the app, every social media platform you can basically think of. And there's a chance you might even get a hold of Roger if you email the racetrack. I mean, he's very interactive. He's a promoter that is old school and will shake your hand and definitely is the right fit for Eldora, because it definitely was brought up in that kind of business mentality. And Roger's an old school guy. He may only be my age, you know, we're only in our 30s, but we're kind of old school racers and in certain ways, but yet we embrace a lot of new stuff. And when it comes to being fan friendly, I can't appreciate what you've done there enough. I think you've done a really good job.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate everything you do to promote the sport. I mean, you've pioneered this form of coverage, and it's been exciting to see how much it's grown since you know, 1998, 1999. So, congratulations on that, and we'll see you here soon.
All right, Roger. Thanks for joining us, Roger Slack, the GM. Thanks. From Eldora Speedway joining us. And, you know, I don't get a chance enough to talk to Roger. Our interviews always seem to go long, but, I feel guilty calling him half the time because he's so busy, and him and I are two people that we'll just get to talking and we won't stop. So basically I have one thing that I usually do on race day at Eldora. I usually go in, I set up my stuff, and funny story from last year, I was just setting up at the King's Royal and getting all my laptop out and everything in the media center, and Roger comes up to me and goes, "What the bleep are you doing here?" Because he expected me to go to Indiana Sprint Week. I look at him and go, "This is the second biggest sprint car race in the world." And I was able to go, as much as I love Kokomo Speedway, and I love me some Kokomo Speedway, I'm like, you know what? It's an opportunity to go to Gas City, go to Indiana Sprint Week on Friday, and you go to see the King's Royal on Saturday. You get the best of both worlds 45 minutes apart. You can't beat that. And, but his first night there, I went up and I said, "Roger, good luck. I'm in the tower." Just for race time, shook his hand. And I've done that every visit since. And every night's gone well. knock on wood, here in the studio. So that tradition will probably continue. But, you know, Roger's been interactive with us going back to the Charlotte Motor Speedway dirt track days. And I don't even know if it was even in existence yet. I think it might have been a parking lot when he first came on. But he's done great things there at Eldora, and looking forward to what he has to do there in the future. Him and his staff are doing a great job over there. So if you haven't been out to Eldora lately, you need to get out there. It's not the same kind of deal. It is, but it isn't. And I think you'll like what you see out there. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Smith. Brian won the feature last Friday at Attica Raceway Park. And if you go to YouTube, look up his victory celebration. We'll talk to him about the backflip, the fast series, everything else going on with Brian Smith. So you're listening to TJSlideways.com live here on Races on the Web. Stay tuned.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSlideways.com Live. Heard all around the world on racesontheweb.com. And I want to thank you if you're listening to the podcast as well. Of course, all of our shows available podcast on demand. You can also subscribe on the iTunes Music Store. And before we get started with our final guest of the evening, All-Star Performance would like to congratulate Dustin Daggett on his victory Saturday at the Crystal Motors Speedway. Visit allstarperformance.com for all of their items. And our next guest won the Fast Series event Friday night at Attica Raceway Park and promptly celebrated with a backflip into a mud puddle and mud angels. I would expect nothing less from Brian Smith. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Hey, glad to be back.
So I've seen the dust angels on the horse track before, but so how did that all come about? You get on the horse track, you're pumped up, you just won the feature. What prompted you to jump into a mud puddle?
Well, you know, I really couldn't tell you. This started when I won my first feature. I got tackled by my dad and my brother, and I ended up doing snow angels on the front stretch there at Fremont. And I don't know, it just kind of evolved. Last year, the last race of the year at Fremont, we won the Run What You Brung race, and there was a mud puddle on the front stretch. So I had all my gear on and everything. I went and run, and it's more of a flying somersault than a backflip. I don't have those skills, but I did that in front of about 90 people, and nobody got it on video. It was so cold and everything. So when I came pulling up the front straightaway and I saw that big puddle there, I started yelling for the photographers to get stuff ready, and I got all my helmet and all that stuff off this time so it wouldn't be all full of mud like it was last time. And I just went for it, and when I got out, the crowd was going crazy. So, it was really neat. We're in the entertainment business, so I was just trying to put on a show.
And you just hit on exactly where I was leading with that. So let's talk about the feature event. Take me through it. How did everything go down? How did you get the lead and finish that deal off?
Well, with these new tires, we didn't start off the year, the first two races, as well as we'd finished it off. So I talked to Brian Kemenaw about some changes we wanted to make, and we went ahead and did that, and it made the car really good. We started last in the heat and made it up to the redraw spot, so the car felt pretty good and made a couple minor changes from there like we'd planned, and we started fourth, which generally when I start on the outside, I don't get real good starts, but we did. We took off pretty good, settled into fourth, and started making some laps, and the car was getting better as the fuel load was coming off, and the guys in front of me were getting into lap traffic. About the halfway point, I knew we had a pretty good race car. I think we were running third, and Dean Jacobs had gotten away a little bit, but Byron was within reach. And as we got into traffic, I just started catching him more and more and got underneath Byron and was feeling pretty good, just, in the no-wake zone right down there on the bottom up against the tires like I usually am. And saw Dean up there a little bit further ahead, and I think about 9 or 10 laps ago, I got by him and started to get a little bit of a lead, and we had a couple cautions there at the end that just changed it up a little bit, just kind of prolonged it. And once we got going again, the car was just really, really good. Just tried to keep hitting my marks down there, and we ended up on the front straightaway, so it was a good deal.
And one thing we were talking about off the air, this is the same engine that you won the very first fast race several years ago. And how old is that motor again?
Well, even if you go with that, that was 5 years ago, so that's an old motor. But actually, the heads and the injection on that motor are from 1997, and the bottom end is from 1998. I actually ran this motor like 35 races the second half of the 1998 All-Star season, finished sixth in points with them with this motor. So it's been around for a long time, Matt. Yeah. I'm a race car driver, so I'm not really good at math. If we were good at math, we wouldn't drive race cars. So.
Yeah, obviously. That's why sprint car drivers only run 30 laps, Anyway, Ryan Smith joining us. You're what we consider a low butt guy, possibly, a smaller team compared to some of the other operations in the area. What is the key when you're a smaller team to level the playing field? How hard is it to race smart, I guess? You pick and choose your schedule pretty wisely. As a racer, how hard is it to do that? And how long did it take you to develop like the plan that you have now to hit certain races and so you can be competitive on a fraction of the budget as some of the other teams?
Well, I always like to say that people call me low budget, but in all reality, I couldn't afford to develop the spell budget. We just
You know, I run the bottom for this simple fact that if you mess up on the bottom, you slide up the racetrack. And if you run the top, you slide off the racetrack and smash into stuff. So that's one of the things. You know, I just,
I've been doing it for a long time. You know, I started when I was 16 years old, and that's, I'm 38 now, so I've been doing it for a long time. And I drove for my dad back when we started, and we didn't have any money then. So just something that, you know, you just get used to doing. You know, I run tires. The tire I had on Friday night that we won on, I ran again on Saturday, and that was the fourth feature on Saturday, and we ran in the top five. So I've learned to be really, really easy on tires. I'm really, really easy on equipment. I know that if the race car doesn't make enough money to go to the races the next night, we don't race. If I don't make the feature, there's a good chance I don't race, and it could be a while. So it's just a necessary thing. You know, I don't know how I could explain it to many people other than being in it. You know, I don't buy new bolt kits and new body panels. I fixed my nose wing today already with some bent up aluminum and some pop rivets. It's just, you just do whatever you got to do to keep racing. You know, all I want to do is be a 410 sprint car driver and just find a way to do it.
What is it about the atmosphere at Attican Fremont that gives people the drive to want to do this? It seems like there's a lot of stories like it. People want to do this. And there's this desire on the local level there. And when you go to the racetracks, it's got that Friday night football feel to it. What is it about those two places that makes people want to go race?
Well, there's a lot of history there. I mean, Attica's only been around for, 25, 26 years, somewhere there, and that there's still a lot of history in there, a lot of big races. You know, Fremont's been around for 60-some years. A lot of big names have been through there. You know, there's a lot of foundation that's been built through all the names like Niemeyer and Beal and Franks and Keegan and all that. You know, and Keegan built Attica basically over there and ruled it for years. Beavers are in there and Lenders and all that. It's just, I don't know, it's similar to Pennsylvania in a way. It's just what you do. It's just the thing to do. I don't know. I didn't grow up here. I wanted to be a super late model driver at Toledo Speedway, and I ended up in a sprint car at 16. So I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. You don't see it a whole lot of other places. They don't have that strong of a fan base like Fremont and Attica does. So it's, you know, we're pretty fortunate to have it.
And this weekend, Western Pennsylvania fans are going to get a taste of Brian Smith. You're heading out to some different places this year, and that starts this weekend.
Yeah, it does. We've been running Fremont Attica here for the last few years. We got local sponsors and stuff. You know, we want to support to be here. But since 98, I've been trying to get back on the road. And I heard it's kind of funny, I heard another racer getting interviewed on another radio show, and they mentioned I was getting mentioned for a certain car to drive, and they said that I was a Fremont guy, and it's, you know, I got family and things to do in Fremont and Attica area, and that's probably where I'd be. And that kind of bugged me. It bugged me enough that I made the decision right there. We were going to go do some stuff. I've traveled a lot. In 2010, we hit like 7 different states and 15 different racetracks, so it's not really that new, but this year we want to get out and have some fun at different places, meet some new people. You know, it's great here. We're running the Fast Series, so we're actually second in points in that deal right now, which is pretty neat. But we'll be around Fremont and Attica quite a bit. But we're going to go hit Lernerville and Mercer. The weather looks good. Getting things in order to go do that. We're going to do a MTS race is on the schedule. I really, really want to do up at the, I think it's Tri-City in Auburn, Michigan. Neat little, you know, dirt racetrack they built in that pavement track there. I like Joe Irwin and all the guys that run that. We've run with them in the past. I'm going to try and make it to Central Pennsylvania and try and hit Lincoln one time. We built a relationship with some people over there and want to go over and visit and just try and do that. So we're going to have some fun, see some different places, take the family with us, and See how it goes?
And it's almost like the Brian Smith reunion tour. It's like those All-Star days back in the day. So Brian Smith joining us here on the hotline. And you'd mentioned your second and fast points. What has fast changed about the local racing scene there in Ohio? Other than the money factor, it's given you guys, as someone called it the other day, free money, so to speak, if you can run in that top 10. What has that organization brought to the table for that that already great racing scene?
Well, I think it's made the 410 division around here stronger. It's made the 305 division around here stronger because there's a 305 fast series. We're getting different guys that maybe wouldn't run here every week. Like Dean Jacobs is he's a traveling all-star guy, and now he's running the fast series the last few years. Phil Grespin was out doing a bunch of 360 and 410 stuff before, and, he's running, he had run the fast series before. It's just it's probably keeping some guys here that may want to do some more traveling just because the money is so good, and it brings a lot of promotion to the area because it's not just your general local track here in Ohio, but there's the fast series going on. They're doing a lot of promotion with that, and it's just it's a neat deal to be able to have that kind of cooperation between two tracks. And it's a few fans got together, Brian Atulo and Scott Porter and them guys, and put together a really neat deal that really supports the local 410 racing.
And you've got another interesting angle. You don't see very many faith-sponsored racing teams, but you definitely the primary sponsor on the car is, or name on the car is Grace Community Church. How did that relationship begin?
Well, racing basically destroyed my marriage back after we got done with the All-Star deal, and the only way that it was going to get straightened back out is if we got God into our lives, and both my wife, Kimberly, and I became born-again Christians back in 2000, started attending Grace Community Church. It was a natural fit. We had a lot of friends that were surrounding us that went there, and we've attended there since then. And 3 years ago, I believe, a friend of mine who was in the music ministry there and is a huge race fan, sings the national anthem here from time to time, said, why don't you ask the senior pastor about the church sponsoring it? And, it was just never something that crossed my mind because we go there and we give to the church to help other people, in need and that kind of thing. And we're fortunate to have a church that has about between 1,600 and 1,800 people attend each week, and which is a large church, and they have an advertising budget, which just makes sense. And they've done billboards and radio and paper and print ads of all kinds and mailers and all that stuff, and never really saw a big turnaround on that. They didn't see a lot of things coming back from that. So it was something they were interested in. We talked it out. We just got down to some details, and they came on, decided that it was a good idea because we're sitting in front of 2,000 people every Friday and Saturday night, and they're a captive audience. Every time we're on the racetrack, they're looking at you, basically. And through opportunities like, winning heat races and getting interviewed, or winning features and getting interviewed, doing radio shows like this, I'm able to spread the word that Grace Community Church is supporting this, and, I can spread the word that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you can go to heaven and all that. So it works out really good. It's been working out great for us. Last year I didn't even go back to see if we were going to do it again. Our senior pastor said that this is something they're really looking forward to being a part of. And through that I've gained several other sponsors through the church, other believers that go to our church. So it's really turning out to be a super deal for everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say, has it actually brought some new people to the church that have maybe signed up or started coming on Sundays just out of curiosity?
It absolutely has. And as a matter of fact, it was, maybe it had been 2 or 3 months ago now, we had a new attenders deal where they come up in front of the church and they just announce their names and kind of introduce themselves. And the guy said that I'm so-and-so and this is my wife and we really love the fact that you guys sponsor a sprint car. So we've definitely had people come in. I've invited a ton of people. I'm always inviting. Friday night on the front straightaway, I invited people to come to church, and more and more people are coming all the time.
Oh, that's a great story there. Brian Smith joining us, and, man, you've done, you've got a lot of places with racing, with the All-Star Circuit and stuff, and you've done a lot of traveling. Is there one place or one race you haven't done yet that's kind of on Brian Smith's bucket list?
You know, with the equipment I have, I couldn't do it, but I'd like to do the Knoxville Nationals one time, just to go out and be a part of it and try and make the show, obviously, and do as well as we can. Other than that, you know, we've won races. When I started racing, my dad won one feature, and he was, you know, he was my hero. All I wanted to do was win one feature, and now we've got seven, I think. So, I don't know. I'd like to make an outlaw race. All these years, I haven't made an outlaw race. We haven't had a lot of chances, but we're going to try and go do the Brad Doty Classic this year in my car. I've been there in somebody else's car and didn't make the show, but I'd like to go there in this car and try that. So I just want to race, you know, wherever I can. If I can get in different cars and run, you know, that's great too. It's just I just want to race. That's what I do.
So. It's one of the guys that I think loves the sport as much or more than anyone else I know, Brian Smith, joining us on the line here. And I know you have some people to thank before we go.
Oh, yeah, I got to thank, obviously, Kid Henry, Henry Motorsports, who owns the car. I want to thank RSS Monitoring. Go to rssmonitoring.com. It's a home security company. Gressman Power Sports has just been huge since 2000. I could not do it without Scott Gressman and Gressman Power Sports. Outerwears, Trails and Custom, Photos, Sheets Motorsports, Scott's Lawn Care, Crown Battery came on this year. They've been a huge help. Chuck Rowley Racing. My wife, obviously, who is my biggest supporter when she's not cheering for Byron Reed. And all my crew and all the guys that help out. Just very grateful to be able to do this.
Well, Brian, hopefully we see more forward flips in the mud puddles and dust angels throughout the year. And make sure to enjoy that ice cream this week. I hope it tastes that much better after victory.
We're doing it tomorrow night, man. I can't wait. I'm going to get a large size this time.
All right. Brian Smith joining us here on the Rocket Headers Hotline. And I've known Brian since those All-Star days. And the word character, I don't think, is strong enough to describe this guy. I mean, he is definitely a character. And we have a lot of fun talking to him and over the years. And if you ever have a chance, look up, if you're ready on Facebook, I think there might be a couple of them on YouTube, him and his brother Todd, Fishing Wednesday. That's all I've got to say. You just got to check it out some night. So we're going to come back after this break and wrap up the show. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Welcome back to TJSideways.com Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. Of course, if you're tuned in this Saturday, this past Saturday, you saw the Sprints on Dirt event at the Crystal Motor Speedway. That's where we were last weekend, and what a race. Holy cow. No one in the top three started any further up than 17th. Well, technically Dustin Daggett did, but he had a flat tire on the opening lap and a stack up that caused a caution and a complete restart. So everyone in the top three basically started the event. Technically, Daggett didn't get credit for hard charger from that run for the wheel, but no one started the second restart any further up than 17th, and it was a whale of a show. And this Saturday, the Sprints on Dirt will combine with the National Racing Alliance back up here at I-96 Speedway, and that's where I'll be. Mudclod Bob might head down to Eldora Friday if logistics work out right. He might stay down there or come back up for the Sprints on Dirt show on Saturday. So that's our plans for the weekend. And after last weekend, I'm really pumped up. Well, that was a good show. That was probably the best sprint car feature I've ever seen at Crystal. Easily top three. The two all-star shows that were there were really good. But that SOD show, that might be the best SOD show I've seen there, hands down. And I can't think of one recently that would touch that one. It was a pretty incredible show. So congratulations to Dustin Daggett again. Everyone over there, there's a lot of different faces up front. I think not having the testing tunes in the area, they all got washed out. We've talked about the flagging for 2-3 weeks now. It washed out all the practice nights around here. So a lot of guys were still feeling stuff out. And it was kind of an interesting night, a true full moon night. Lots of strange happenings. Of course, we're putting together a notes column that you should see probably tomorrow or Wednesday on that show. And kind of looks ahead towards some of the stuff for the weekend. So once again, I want to thank all of our guests, David Gravel and Roger Slack and Brian Smith, for joining us tonight. We do this live show every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. You can always listen on demand on the website. You can download the podcast off the website. You can also subscribe on iTunes. We look forward to doing it again next week. And everyone have safe travels out to the races or wherever you're doing. Thank you and good night.